This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neesh and Footy on ABC Radio Australia.
Ma Lola Lee, and welcome to Neesh and Footy for the first time in 2024. If this is the first time you've heard of this show, strap in. We chat all things Pacifica talent in rugby league and the rugby union world with lots of amazing guests along the way. My name's Sam Wykes, and usually Tinera Arona is alongside me, but he had the audacity to ask for an extra week off, so he won't be with us this week. So we've got the man who joined us a few times last year. He's played over 200 rugby league games at the highest level. Plus, he has represented Samoa and the USA, Mr. Wiggle, Joseph Sefa Bola. Sefa, welcome back.
Talofa lava to you, Sam, and I'm excited for today's show. Thank you for you guys listening. It's great to be back on Neesh and Footy. But what about Tinero, eh? On those work paid leave meetings, he keeps turning up.
He gets paid for a lot of coffees. He's wouldn't shout if a shark bit him as well. But how was your break?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the break. It's been 5 years since I've had Christmas with my family, so good to be back in Australia and spending time with family and friends. How was your break?
Yeah, it was good. It was good, actually. It was good to have a big break. We had a few weeks off, got to enjoy myself. I did eat a lot. I did. I overindulged.
I didn't notice. But.
What are you saying? You're throwing stones, are you?
Oh, mate. Yeah. You're looking at me, mate.
No, but it was good. It was good to spend some time with the kids, with the family. Yeah, as I said, we cooked a fair few pigs during that 3 weeks. So
yeah, good stuff.
But it's great to be back to talk all things footy. So looking forward to what we've got planned for this week, for today's show.
Yeah, can't wait to dive into the show. Lots of fun planned, including a very special guest, Sam. That's someone you made your first preseason with.
Yeah, the great man, Lotte Tungiri.
Ooh, wow, that's big.
Mate, what a guest to have for our first episode back. 2024, we've hit the ground running. He's probably the greatest dual international of all time, so I'm really looking forward to hearing his insights to where rugby is at the moment, his thoughts on both codes, pre-season, and everything about what's coming up for the seasons for NRL and Super Rugby.
Moment of the week.
Yes, Sam. Our moment of the week, just want to pay tribute to Troy Dargan. Over the Christmas period, there was a sad passing of rugby league Cook Island player, Troy Dargan. They had his funeral on the weekend. Four of the teams that he represented, they all turned up to his funeral. His mother was Cook Island, his father was Aboriginal. Just want to pay our respects and send our condolences. And it was a very touching moment there, as the community really got behind this kid, and to see the Cook Islanders really honour him at his funeral as they performed the haka. Obviously, T was there, a part of the Cook Island group, and it was awesome to see just and hear how much people respected the kid. And I just thought it'd be nice if we touch on that moment as we start this year. There's going to be plenty of great moments, but I just wanted to pay respects to Troy Dargan and his family.
Yeah, well said, Seth. And a lot of his old teammates and clubs made the trip up to the funeral from Parramatta, South Sydney, and a few more players. So it's a sad time. And as you said, like, condolences to his family and much love to all those out there who knew him dearly.
Kia ora, my name is Kiana Takairangi, and you are listening to Neesh and Footy.
Seth, with no footy this month, we are getting into that pre-season time. We dive deep into what it's like to prepare for an NRL season or a Super Rugby season, getting the body right, getting the mind right. So come round one, you're getting the job done, and hopefully at the end of the season, you can look back on that preseason and go, yes, we accomplished what we set out to do. But Seth, preseason, how did you find them?
Oh, head noise, fighting demons, no eating, no sleeping, all of the above, you know. I had my first pre-season at the Penrith Panthers, had a great meeting at 1 p.m. and we're like, oh, is that it? First day of pre-season. Didn't know those tyres outside were for us for the next 4 hours while we're lifting tyres, carrying logs. And we even just signed Petro Devanisiva. And I was thinking, man, we got pretty much a premiership winner here. And he's out here slogging with us, leading the way. So it's always good as a young guy to see the older guys putting in the same effort as the young ones. But, you know, every preseason's different. It never gets easier. As you get older, it feels like it gets harder.
Yeah, you just get smarter. I think everyone talks about being fitter, faster, stronger, but you have to add in there, you have to train smarter too. So the older you get, like a fine wine, you get better with age, you train smarter, and hopefully you miss out on some of the K's and the legs that you go through. But when we look at some of the testing scores that have come out with some of the NRL players, it's pretty impressive. They've got the Bronco test, which is the 1.2 kilometre yep. run. You know, that wasn't really around when we first started, but it became a thing, in the last 4 years or so.
Yeah.
Where it's out 20 back, 40 back, 60 back, five times, and you just go in until you get your time. And to put things in perspective, I think Beauden Barrett, the All Blacks, the All Blacks number 10, who's over in Japan now, he got 4:12, and I think that's the record.
That's pretty much the benchmark.
That's the benchmark.
In rugby league, when I was coming around, Jonathan Thurston set 4:20. So for a long time, it felt like that was the benchmark.
And was it the shuttle or like a 1.2 around?
The Bronco test.
The Bronco test, yep.
So I always felt like I was never going to get there, but I'm going to go hard. But I was obviously being from Newcastle. Daniel Saifidi, he got 4:45 in a Broncos test. And we're talking about 120 kilo.
I was going to say, that's impressive for a big man.
So you can just see the high performance that's going into a lot of these preseason training. You're seeing players becoming stronger and now even fitter from the front row to the wingers.
Well, you know, there's obviously the physical performance side of things, but one thing that really caught my eye is probably watching Manly Way. The Manly Way, they've got a four-part series on their website, you know, that shows the in-depth scenarios and what it's like to train at Manly and the history that goes behind it and what they're doing this year to prepare to hopefully win an NRL premiership. At the end of the year. Let's have a listen here on what they're doing besides all the physical stuff.
We're so far ahead what we were last year. Our season's done a really good job, and also the coaching staff, you know, getting that culture, you know, right up there. You know, we have a day that we can split up into our docs groups.
Yeah, so the docs groups are pretty new to me. It's a pretty cool concept, actually. They got us boys going out every Tuesday to go hang out in our docs groups, and we pick an activity to go do. So, the docs groups have actually brought me into a little community in our groups here at Manly, which is pretty good.
Yeah, it was so good to see the DNA of Manly and hearing from Jim Dimmick. I was coached by him at the Sharks. He's going to bring a real strong defensive mentality to that club. He's real strong on the wrestling techniques. A lot of his coaching is very specific in that way, which has changed or probably evolve over his time. As a player, I love watching Jim Dimmick play at the Eels and Dogs. He offered something special, like someone I try to mirror my game around. But now to see him bring in that defensive edge to Manly, hopefully they can instill some of those principles that he used with us at the Sharks. But it was cool to hear the Docs crew.
Yeah, the Docs crew. So the duty of care group.
Yep.
And I thought as well it actually meant the Docs crew, like for in the Tongan word Tokoowa means brothers.
Of course.
So that they connect off the field. So, you know, they'll train on probably during the day on the Tuesday, and in the afternoon they get in their Docs group and they go do things outside of footy so they can connect, get to know one another, do something and different that's not required to be physical or anything like that. It's just about making sure that they're having conversations around getting to know the person, not just a footy player. So, yeah, duty of care group. I think that's a really unique way to do things, to build that connection. Have you experienced anything like that before? Because there's so many times where in footy you think it's all about the numbers, the fitter, faster, stronger. We've got to train more. More is better. But there's sometimes where you just have to pull right back and be able to just get to know your mate just that little bit more, because if you understand his story, it's going to transfer on the field where you're going to dig that little bit deeper for them when times get tough. Have you experienced anything like that in your time?
I think when I was at Para, we were real big, like you've probably done the same, Sam, with the forwards and backs having a coffee before your captain's run, just to really connect with your team, because you know who you're going to war with, but you actually want to know more than just the footy player. So a big part of our camps when I was at Para was about being vulnerable, sitting in front of your mates and actually hearing what your mates think honestly and hard about you. It's hard to take, you know, when they're saying things you don't want to hear, but it actually allows you to understand what they think of you, so how you can change that, how you can change that perception, and you can actually be a better person to your team, because you're going to know what they actually want from you instead of just turning up and not knowing. So yeah, it's awesome that Manly are leading that way.
Yeah, that feedback, that honest feedback that you get, you don't realize how brutal it can be until you hear it from your peers. There used to be we used to do a thing called stop, start, keep. So something that you have to stop doing, something that you have to start doing, and something that you have to keep doing. So we would partner up, and then I would have to say something to you, go, Seth, I feel like you need to stop clowning around during the warm-up. Like it's impacting the group's performance. And then something that you need to keep doing, you know, the general chat or lifting big weights or your extras after training. And something you need to start doing is probably starting more conversations with some of the younger boys coming through. So that was an eye-opener, especially when you're 18 and you've got to say it to one of the top dogs in the team who's been there.
Yeah.
You know, imagine saying that to, we've got big lot there on later on. Imagine the young winger having to give that honest feedback to someone like a veteran who's won premierships, he's played Origin, he's played for the Wallabies, and he's going, oh, LT, you probably need to stop doing this. Like that's tough. That's tough to have. But at the end of the day, in high performance environments, that's what it takes. That's what it takes. And, you know, all those, there's so much specific talent coming through each of the teams. Yourself, you've seen someone that's going to be taken over. The great man, Stephen Crichton, who's obviously gone to the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
You know, who's taken his position?
Paul Alamotti. So I'm really excited to see him play. Just seeing a kid that probably come through the debut season at the Dogs, probably felt the pressure, the hype of how he had to perform. Now he comes to a system where they've won 3 premierships in a row. He's going to be surrounded by the best team. And all they'll be saying is just focus on doing your job, mate. Just bring it back. Keep the standards high, but just do your job. And I'm excited to see him and a few other guys, Keenan Palacio, who signed at the Titans. I felt like he was Torsar Moore's breakthrough player this year in the Pacific Test. We got Chanel Tavita-Harris, who's returning from a one-year stint. Obviously, just decided to walk away from the game. So he spent a bit of time in Samoa. He said he found a lot of simplicity to his life that he thinks he can really channel that. I know his name's Chanel, but channel that energy to his rugby league game. And watching the Warriors play in Samoa through the Wi-Fi just sort of gave him that itch that, like, man, like, I wish I could be there, but, you know, my time will come. And obviously the big signing of the year has got to be the RTS returns to the Warriors. You know, he had 2 years in another code that you might know well, Sam.
Who is he? What's his name?
You might know that game, Rugby Union, they call the Barbars. But, yeah, excited to see RTS, the way he's going to inject himself to the Warriors and what he's going to bring.
Just on RTS, what about I rang T during the break? T, how's it all going, mate? Like, how's things happening? Family well? He goes, oh, yeah, just caught up with RTS for breakfast. I was like, oh, yeah, we name dropping, are we? He goes, oh, yeah, I was just over at the Warriors for work with RLPA stuff and, yeah, just sitting with RTS.
So
it's not Roger, it's RTS to you.
And it's not work, is it? Just going for coffee, just going for,
again, lattes. Coffee. And he didn't buy as well. He made sure that the big bucks of RTS.
So, Sam, tell me, when does the footy start?
Yeah, there's some big dates coming up. We've got Rugby Union. Perth Sevens is coming up, actually, the World Circuit.
Oh, yep.
That comes January 26th to the 28th. And we also get into Super Rugby, Feb 23rd. and Super W comes in at March 15th. So it's going to be jam-packed this year with footy. What about league? You know what's going on there?
Yeah, rugby league, exciting times coming up. All-Stars game and pre-season challenge, February the 15th to the 18th. We've got the World Club Challenge, Wigan versus Panthers, which Panthers will be having a big eye on winning this challenge after last year's defeat. And then we have the NRL that starts in March the 3rd, two games to start the season in Las Vegas. And we got the Women's Origin, May 16th for game one, and the NRLW will start in July 25th.
Seth, I forgot. Some extra rugby news.
Oh, tell me, Sam. I'm excited.
Well, to be honest, I wasn't excited when I read this, but it's something different. I haven't seen it before. You know, the process of selecting a head coach, usually you probably know who it's going to be in your five-year plan moving forward. But this time around, I just saw on LinkedIn that the Wallabies had a job ad out for their head coach.
On LinkedIn?
On LinkedIn.
So you're telling me I'm on LinkedIn, I can apply for the Wallabies head coaching role?
Yes, you could have had the opportunity to go and sign up, send the bloke an email to say, yeah, I feel like I'm qualified, and to hand your resume in.
Wow. I'd love to see the criteria of what they're looking for on LinkedIn.
Being resilient.
Yep.
Having thick skin.
Tick. Tick, yep.
Working with a limited budget.
Oh, I try my best. Yeah.
Yes. Not having the support of... No, I'm joking. No, but that's an interesting way of finding your head coach. I'm not sure if all the other countries at the top level are doing that, but hopefully it works because they're in for a big period. You know, we've got to get the Bledisloe Cup back. We've got the Lions next year. And, you know, actually, I forgot to even say too, in the comments section, there was that many comments happening, they had to switch it off.
Oh, wow.
And I can give you a tip. They weren't positive, but you shouldn't live in the comments section. It's, you don't want to be reading those things. But as I said, hopefully it works because there's a big period for Australian rugby coming up, and hopefully that LinkedIn post has the last laugh.
Nation footy.
With rugby union and rugby league still, I guess, in the off-season, Seth, we've got to fill in some segments and spice things up and get your footy fix. And we dove into a little bit last year around the biggest. You know, we had the biggest scoreline, the biggest hits. One thing that I think is iconic in footy is coaching sprays. Hey, look, I can see you smirking. we've all had our fair share. And sometimes you take it personal and you think he doesn't like me, he hates me, I'm probably not delivering as I should and everyone's off me. But at the end of the day, it's all part and parcel of being a professional footy player. Seth, can you surely enlighten us with something that's happened to you in your career?
When I think of biggest coach spray, I've had plenty of them. I probably deserved it for some of the plays I tried out there. But some have come off, which has been good. But I was just thinking about my time at Para, and we all got caught up to a meeting about 4 p.m. and the whole squad was there. It's literally, we're talking about preseason here. And Ricky Stewart just puts on this slideshow for everyone to read. Not a good time for half the team, but... And you just see him scrolling on his laptop and you're seeing like name after name after name after name. And you're like, oh no, what's this mean? Do I have to do extras tomorrow? And he just said, if you see your name on the monitor, pack your bags up and this will be your last day at the Parramatta Eels.
No.
And I was just like, oh wow.
In front of the group?
In front of the whole squad.
No way.
So for me, when I think about spray, I just think fire out. That's one of the biggest swear.
Was your name on that list?
But fortunately, my name wasn't on that
list. Oh, so when Ricky delivered that message, was it intense spray? Like, pack your bags and get out? I was like, just pack your bags. This is your last day. So I don't even know what's worse. Probably the silent one, if it was that way. But
I felt like he used no words. He just said, if your name's on the board, this is your last day. Because we're used to a Ricky Stewart spray. When you see him on Canberra now and he's kicking that chair or he's throwing something at some player's sheds, like, it just felt like he was just turned up and he had this idea and that's what he was rolling with. So I'd say more silent compared to the standard Ricky Stewart
and
sprays.
Did he was he just front and center at the room, or did he go, "This is pack your bags," and then did he walk out as well just to let it simmer, or did he just stand there staunch, knowing full well who he's put up on that list and just watching them one by one get off the...
I just felt like we all just got up and just walked out. We didn't even care what he was going to say or how he looked. It was just one of those moments where you're like, far out, one guy's driving this way to his house and half a drive into the training sheds to get ready for training.
Now, that's ruthless. Like, I've heard some ruthless stories, but that's up there.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Yes, we welcome back Shelley Long to 2024. It's great to have her back on board. And the good thing is, Shelley, you actually turned up this week and T didn't. So
I know.
It's unbelievable, really. Like, when you think, you know, our PNG Orchid, North Queensland Cowboys superstar who's actually playing the game, who can show up on Monday when the start date was... And he doesn't. So, interesting. But welcome. It's great to have you back. How was your break?
Oh, it was so great. My cup's definitely full. I got to reconnect with my family, see them. You know, as footy players, we don't really get to have a lot of time to be able to go and see them. And when we do have that time, we generally just spend it relaxing. So to be able to go home, see my parents, see my brothers and sisters, it was great and a great start to the year.
Hey, Shelley, it's Joseph Paulo here, just filling in for T. Sam said.
Thanks, Seth. Appreciate it, mate.
Thanks, T. How was your preseason?
Yeah, preseason's been going really well. I think it's probably my best preseason so far. You know, last year we talked a little bit about how I was struggling with some injuries, so some shin splints and things like that. This year I'm looking really well. I've hit some PBs in the 1.2 and some of the lifting the weights as well.
Ooh,
so
I'm
excited.
Can you share? You share the times?
No, they're still secret, but just know
I've improved. That's exactly right. As long as you improve, that's the main thing. And what else is there, like, in terms of, is that pre-season by yourself or is that with the team at the moment? Because NRLW is starting a bit later. Like, is that a long pre-season for you or what's happening there?
Yeah, so with our pre-seasons at the moment, we're signed with a BMD club. So for me, I'm playing out of Mackay Cutters. Our pre-season has been going since November last year. And then through the Christmas holiday and New Year period, we were allowed like the 2 weeks off. And then we're back into Mackay Cutters training now. In that 2 weeks, though, I definitely did my own work because I was like, I need to be on top of this. I need to keep the ball rolling. I'm not falling behind. I'm not coming back unfit. You know, the turkeys really get to you and the feed.
We were going to ask what was the temptation during Christmas, but now we know the turkey.
It was a turkey. What I was saying to Seth earlier was, I had a fair few pigs on the spit at Christmas time, and lucky I didn't have to run a 1.2. To get any PBs because that would not have happened. But how's the Cowboys managing, you know, that long period? So when by the time you hit NRLW, you're not burnt out.
Yeah, I think for me, myself, being based at Mackay Cutters, our staff have fallen into some playing a part within the Mackay Cutters. So our assistant coach at the Cowboys has now become our assistant coach at Mackay Cutters. Our S&C has become our S&C at Mackay Cutters. So I think that transition has helped a lot. We've been able to see that they've been able to watch us, you know, see where we might need to improve on and where we might be struggling with and assist in those areas. So I think that transition has really helped us a lot.
Yeah, nice, Shirley. I know you jump at the chance to train with your teammates, but I was wondering if there's good news that you've got a new job opportunity outside of your full-time commitments to rugby league.
Yeah, definitely. So I've made the move out of banking. I loved banking. But for me, I felt like...
You don't need to lie, Shelley. If you didn't like it, you could say it.
Interest rates.
But, like, I think for me, I was going to work really early, then going straight to training. And by the time I had gotten home, my partner was already asleep. You know, I was cooking dinner, having a late night. And for me, I didn't think that that was a healthy thing for me, you know, not being able to spend that time with my partner or with my family. And that's a big part of who I am. So making that move to a school has really helped because it's only within school hours, so I can make that transition really easily.
And yeah, has anything changed within the landscape of professionalism with the NRLW space and getting that the time off to work, train, play? Like, has anything changed in that landscape for the women's game?
No, I think that they're very respectful and understanding that we do have to commit to a full-time job. You know, it's getting expensive, the cost of living nowadays, so there's no way around it for us. And without being paid, you know, for the full year, that's definitely something that they definitely take into consideration.
Yeah. So leading into 2024, do you have any New Year's goals, or have you wrote them down, or have a poster of maybe Sam inspiring you every time you do that Bronco test?
Well, my probably when you talk about the Broncos test is not to be afraid of it. I think, you know, around the Broncos test, there's so much nervousness and so much anxiety. But for me, that's something that I really wanted to get out of myself and really just line up on the line and be like, I'm going to beat this test. I'm going to do better than I did last time.
Yeah, nice. I love that.
I don't even know why people are scared of the Bronco. I feel like, to me, like, it's obviously it's a test. And you're going to the max limit. But for me, it's the army camps and, like, the contact sessions and, you know, those type of sessions that I was more afraid of. But it seems like, yeah, the younger generation, you young kids are scared for five minutes.
I think we're scared to fail. Like, yeah. To look like a failure. That was my impression when I was thinking of a beep test,
yo-yo test. You fail to prepare. You prepare to fail, don't you?
Well, that's it. I think, like, for most of us, you know, when we run it and we don't get the score that we had planned to get, that is, like, we feel like we've failed that test. So I think when it comes to running it, there's that nervousness of we might fail ourselves because we thought that we were going to be better than what we were. And so for me, like, when it comes to contact, I'm like, heck yes, I love contact. I love the physicality. That's why I play this game. So I'll always show up and I'll be smiling and excited. And, you know, some of the girls will be standing back and I'm like, come here, like, run hard, tackle me. I love it, but the 1.2, that's the mental side of things, you know, and I think that's where it has always gotten me.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. It's good insight. But also, well, when you're breaking down your goals for 2024, you obviously had the highs of representing PNG late last year, and now you come into a pretty long period of how you're going to have to, you know, spread your season out, your goals. Do you make them pretty short term? Are they long term? Or is it actually really specific around, you know, left shoulder tackles or right shoulder tackles or what you want to improve on?
I think for me, I'm definitely looking long term. So I know in the back of my head, I want to represent the PNG Orchids at the next World Cup. So I'm aiming for that and I'm building on how can I get myself there. It's playing more games than NRLW. It's representing the PNG Orchids in the Pacific Championships again or Prime Minister's 13. So for me, within this year, it's definitely making those representative teams and playing more regular footy within those.
Oh, perfect. Well, is there anything else, I guess, on the New South Wales front that you've heard of? Any new signings, play of movement? Is anything else happening?
Yeah, there's definitely. So our old coach has now been signed to the Newcastle Knights on a 3-year deal, Ben Jeffries.
Nice.
He's made the move down south. He'll take over that coaching campaign for the two-time premierships winners. And alongside that, we were talking a little bit about Natasha Penatani last season, and she has recently been announced as a signing for the West Tigers. That's Tongan international and sister of Tiana Penatani. That's a great signing. I think she had a great international campaign with Tonga. She was an outstanding middle forward, and I think she'll definitely do well for the West Tigers this season.
Oh, the matchup for yes. Cronulla and West Tigers. Mark that one in the calendar with the sisters going at it. That'll be... pretty interesting to see who comes out on top there. Be good.
Yeah, it'll be great. And as well as that, the Sydney Roosters have signed Māori woman Jasmine Strange and alongside of New Zealand international Tiana Davison. So they will definitely be strong in game this season. It will be incredible. Jasmine's dad will still be the coach of the Sydney Roosters by the sounds of it. So father-daughter duo will be great to see.
Perfect, Shell. Well, I appreciate your time. We look forward to talking to you again next week.
Oh, looking forward to it, guys, and love being back. Always love jumping on here on the Monday.
Talofalava, kia ora ana. I'm Lima Sopoanga, and you guys are listening to Nation Footy.
Well, Seth, this man doesn't need too much of an introduction. Arguably one of the greatest wingers of all time in both rugby league and rugby union, and comes from the village of Namatakula in Fiji, also known as the factory line of talent. And this man is part of that, the big man, Lote Tunkiri, LT. Welcome to the show, brother. I really appreciate your time. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Great to be here, boys. It's great Happy to New see Year, some familiar faces on on media these days. It's really cool, man.
Nah, we appreciate that. I've got more of a head for radio, but good to be here. It's good to be here. Well, let's rip in. First up, myself and Steph, we've been talking about pre-season, you know, the slogans, the testing.
Yeah.
When I say pre-season to Big LT, where does that sit with you? Were you up there with all the fitness testing?
When you know, you see me in preseason, Sam, you say, you know where this is going. I get flashbacks. I start going a bit queasy. I've got a lot of anxiety around preseason work, as I'm sure both of you boys probably do. Seth, you could probably tell Sammy about rugby league preseasons. They're crazy, but yeah, mate. I 400s, 1.2 kilometer time trials. My head is already buzzing. All I'm seeing is myself at the back with Matt Utai. Who else? All the Islander boys were just out the back, starting those sessions off with a bit of Vaseline between the legs. You know,
oh, so you don't get the chafe.
Yeah, I hated it. I hated it.
What about we'll talk about the modern game at the moment. I'm sure you still have a close eye on what's happening in both codes. Oh, yeah. We've been talking about the modern day winger at the moment, yourself, very tall, and you have someone like Brian To'o, you know, who's leading the way at the moment. Do you feel like it's changed much from when you played compared to today's game?
Yeah, those guys are definitely worth a hell of a lot more money. Back in the day, I think wingers were just there to score tries. In a sense, you talk to a lot of those old guys. I spoke to Gordon Tullis the other day at Carl Webb's funeral, and he was just talking about wingers like we were, blokes who hung around the team, really. and they still think that way. But you look at guys like Brian To'o now. He's probably really invaluable to that Penrith team. He gets his set going forward really well. He makes, 200 to 250 a game in metres. I really dislike playing guys like Brian if I played against him. Those little small nippy guys sort of getting around, guys like Matt Utai, he was probably Brian Portal number one. real strong on their feet, would get out of marker, scoot from dummy half really, really well. The game, we've sort of taken it to that level, I guess, back in the day with me and Wendell, starting off the sets really well. And these guys have just got on the back of it. And these guys are ultra fit. You know, they just compete, to the nth degree now. You know, a lot of these guys, you talk about Brian To'o, you're talking about, Turuba on the wing there for Penrith. They're small, but you try and put some high balls up. You try and, stuff them around in different ways. But, they're up to it. They've taken, that wing play to a whole new level, I think, about their all-round game. Yeah. High balls, getting out of dummy half, getting this set off to a great start. I really enjoy watching the new age, the wingers play these days.
Hey, Lottie, what are you thinking about Mark Nawonga Netawase? and making the switch from rugby union after a great World Cup campaign with the Wallabies and now going to the Roosters?
Yeah, well, the Wallabies really, or the Rugby Australia, really let themselves down there. He was the one shining light in the last, 12 to 18 months for the Wallabies, obviously. I think it's been spoken about a little bit. I don't know whether he's thought of it or not. It may have been subconscious, but could have been a bit of a rear guard action to, so I let you that they signed and thought it in the back of his mind. It probably would have been spoiling. Well, they don't really appreciate what we've got. I'm going to try. I think he can definitely play rugby league. He's got the physique. He's got all the tools to I think, make a great winger. And I think if there's a club to go to get you in that, state of playing a really good football, I think the Roosters and Trent Robinson and that coaching staff there are probably one of the better teams to go to.
You mentioned the Wallabies and not being in a great state at the moment. What do you feel needs to happen to be able to get the Wallabies back to where it was when you were playing? Because it was hissing through those early 2000s to the mid-2000s. Where do you see it needs to change?
It's tough because we like to play, and the game has probably let itself down in a sense, I think. I think it's really tough to bring over some new fans and everything else and get the interest going again. And I think that's where we struggle. I think, yes, South Africa won the World Cup, and they won, and fair play to them. But they played a style that probably, for me anyway, probably wasn't I like to watch or to watch being played. And they won it in a style where they just gave the ball away, sort of bashed and barged. It was a defence-oriented sort of a game. And great if you're a South African, but I don't think you're entertaining as much as you probably could. We fixed that. I think it needs to get back to some sort of free-to-air TV, get the game back in front of, people that don't necessarily watch it as much, and then you start from there.
I feel like the one blessing, and we'll move into this bit, that's happened at the moment is the introduction of the Fijian Drua. Like you talk about the entertainment factor. I feel like without them at the moment, Super Rugby would be pretty bland.
Yeah.
Like the way they play footy, like have you been really impressed with how they are entertaining the crowds?
Yeah, so really impressed. And I think if you're a footy fan, and they should probably try and do it a little bit more, if you're a rugby fan, go over to Fiji and watch a Drua game in Nandi or in Suva. It's amazing. The atmosphere, the colour, just experiencing something different. It's a great occasion, and the way that the Drua team play, supported by the home team, they've got it. It's like they got an extra player on the field. They start throwing the ball around, and they have made it entertaining. I think sadly they went back to a different style in the World Cup. And they played like they tried to play like everyone else in a sense. Didn't keep that, sense of fun which they have played with in the past. Probably thought a little bit too much. I thought anyway. That's my opinion. I probably thought they could have played a little bit more expansive, but it didn't allow for a but. Yeah, but mate, as you said, the Drua, they have made that Super Rugby competition a hell of a lot more enjoyable to watch, and to knock off teams like the Crusaders over there. I went to the Reds game last year over there. Amazing. They should definitely get more games over there. And the Islands. I think they've taken a game to Tonga.
Yeah, Moana Pacifica is playing over there, which will be an unreal game.
Yeah, so the more they do that, I think obviously the money is not there for the big bosses or whatever, but I think you got to get eyes back on the game, and if teams are playing a great style, you got to start somewhere, right? And I think the Tongans will support it, right, Sammy?
Yeah, they should get behind it. Yeah,
their numbers, they sort of start there. I think they had a game in Samoa last year. I think the Reds went there last year as well.
Yeah.
A few more games like that, getting the Pacific back into it, I think it'll be. I think you've got to start somewhere, and why not in the Pacific?
Lottie, you captained Fiji Butty in 2000, and obviously represented him later on in your rugby league career. Do you have any involvement if the Fiji rugby or Fiji rugby league?
Not too much, mate. I probably wish I could, and I probably will look a little bit more into it over the next couple of years. I think Wise Kativarate, I think he's doing a good job with Mbati at the moment. Yeah. And it's great that the Fiji and Mbati are playing a hell of a lot more fixtures. Great for rugby league that they are, the world game, they're giving it a go. Yes, I would like to get back into it at some point. They've got some great players, the Mbati, and I think, there's only a few more of them coming through the ranks in the NRL. I've been really impressed with some of the younger guys coming through. When I played in 2000, there was only, I think, two of us that were playing in the NRL. They got, 75, 80% of them playing in the NRL or the Super League in that team now. So it goes to show how far they've come in that space of time.
Something else that's also come a long way since the early 2000s was probably the pronunciations of names within the Pacific. Your name, everyone probably would have known you just as Lottie Tikiri
or
LT. But, the pronunciation of being now Lotte Tungiri, when you were
it's
coming
great.
When you were coming through, did you just accept it or did you try and correct it once and it didn't happen? So you just go, she'll be right?
Yeah, I was in a minority, see? So I was like, and as you know, boys, as Islanders, you probably don't want to say too much. When I was coming through, I was just, yes, sir, no, sir. I just did my thing as a young boy coming through. And I just did that. I didn't mind. When I first moved to Australia, that's what they called me. So I was like, I'm used to it. But I really appreciate, commentators, some of them anyway, really having a go at some of these names. Not like, there are some tongue twisters out there. Sammy, can you give me, I know what we've done this, and I think we did this in Fiji. Can you have a crack at, they call him Petro Sivan Siva, but can you tell me the Fijian pronunciation?
Is it Sivanadeva? No, Sivanadeva?
Vivanadeva.
Oh, Vivanadeva. There we go. See? Appreciate that.
70 cents a litre,
mate.
The fact has come that far. And they have to, right? Like, what is it now in the game? What's it? Over 50% of the boys playing that are of Pacific origin?
Yep, it is.
And to be fair, there should be more blokes like yourselves in the colour of our skin in roles within the media to show that this is, we're actually, 50% of the game. And guys like yourselves do have opinions and, don't speak Tonglish like George Smith.
Yeah, it is. I think especially ABC, they're doing a really good job promoting that representation in that space. Yeah. So there is change happening and it's heading in the right direction. One of those names that is coming through is your son, Samson. He played for Australia in the under-18s against New Zealand, also played in the Global Youth Sevens last year as well.
Yeah.
How does he go with that Tungiri last name? Does he carry it with a lot of weight or, do you just let him be?
I haven't really had an in-depth conversation about carrying it. As much as I think he's his own man, and I'm really proud of his achievements so far. He's only getting started in his career, whether and how far he wants to take it. And I'm really proud as well of he's obviously gotten that green and gold jersey. I sort of worry because he's a good player, but I do worry he carries. Name your father, people be thinking, a few different things. He's got to step up to this or step up to that or but he's carrying it pretty well. He's a pretty quiet, reserved sort of a kid. Just goes about his business the way he does. Probably needs to learn a few things, which he's young in his career. doesn't want to listen to me. It's just everyone else even there saying the same things that I do.
More children with their parents.
Right, yeah, exactly. So if he keeps listening and keeps learning and is open to learn, I think he'll go as far as he wants to.
Oh, yeah, LT, I just wanted to ask about your village of Namatukula, factory line of talent out there. So many greats have come from that village, including yourself. Like, what is the secret to that village to producing world-class athletes?
Well, it wasn't pushing each other. It was more so, inspiring to see guys before you do it. You think, I could actually do that. So I was inspired by, those old sevens players who came out of the village. Luke Ernabula played for the North Sydney Bears years ago, but then at the same time, Noah Nandruku, he's out of the what same village. He actually inspired me. So I think that inspirational bit of, I'm actually from the same place. We have, same blood. We come from the same village. Their houses are 30, 40 metres away. I can do this. And, yes, I was in Australia when I came over early, but, the inspiration that had on me and seeing guys do it on the world stage. So, watching the Hong Kong Sevens when I was younger and watching Fiji do it, and he was part of that, Tutua Noah, he was amazing. And I'm sure there's been guys after me. I don't know if I was inspirational, but you look at, Tevita, the money as well. Those boys certainly, did their bit for the village and their clan. And I think there's, there's more kids coming through now. So I'm going to Fiji next week, or this week actually, to the Coral Coast Sevens. And there's a team coming out of the village. They'll play a good style, which they always do, against some of the bigger teams. They'll give it a go. They always end up in the quarters. So hopefully they'll be a little bit better. They'll have the backing of the support because it's in Singitoka, which is down the road. So they'll be it'll be a fun week down at the Coral Coast Sevens.
Has the village voted on who's the best talent to come out of there yet? Like, does it start arguments around the carver bowl or anything like that? Because you had your poster there. You were front and centre on the poster as you drove up to Suva.
It was. I don't know. I think, there's someone else on there now. I think it's one of the local boys. So I think they do. There's a thing within the – because, there's different clans in the tribe. And so, he's from our clan. Yes. But definitely around the carver bowl, it's always a funny time. You go against your cousin who's sitting over there, he's talking rubbish over there. Another one that's over here is talking rubbish as well. We've had this, we've had that. So it's always a lot of fun now, going around that carver bowl.
Before we let you go, Lottie, we got some exciting footage of you coming on for your debut as you replace your good mate, the Dell Wendell Saylor, for the Wallabies. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on how you felt running on the field and what it meant crossing coach from rugby league and now playing for the Rugby Union Wallabies.
Well, there's a moment. Saylor is off, Takiri is on. Who would have thought a few years ago when they were both playing for Australia in rugby league and with the Brisbane Broncos, stand that one would replace the other in a rugby international in Perth?
Well, it just shows you how far rugby and Australian rugby has come. And it's great to see him on the field, and hopefully he'll get a touch shortly.
Yeah, great memories, great memories. I think the big Dell, he probably got hooked because he was kicking the ball with his club feet. But, amazing time in my life for me. I think, getting a start in that. I was always going to play rugby at some point, growing up on the game, my father playing, family playing. Fiji is a rugby mad country, and to do that over in Perth against the Irish, I think it was in 2003. I think Dell had come over a year earlier. Amazing. And then to play 60-odd tests after that in that gold jersey was pretty cool. As you said before, Wikesy, seeing Samson playing a gold jersey now is pretty cool. Having that and then seeing him now in a gold jersey is pretty cool.
I've got no doubt that would have been an unreal feeling, a feeling that only a certain few get to have. But do you remember In the 20 minutes that you had, do you remember the two penalties you gave away?
No, I don't. What were they? Were they rugby league? Was it
rugby league? Yeah, a couple Australian of rugby
league rules.
Yeah,
did couple I of... kick it out? Did I kick it out or tap it out?
Nah, you little shoulder charge after one of the Irish players kicked it. You've just checked him with a little shoulder charge, and then the referee sticks his hand out for an advantage. And the other one was for holding on. So one of your first touches for carrying the ball didn't release it.
To be fair, boys, I didn't get my gauge or anything on the rules, really, because the rules kept changing. You know, I still struggle with some of the rules now. You know, I think I was still shoulder charging it. Yet. I was even tapping balls back in some of my last tests. I think you've got to catch it on the end goal. I'm still watching too much rugby league, boys.
You're not wrong. It's still complicated. I don't even know the rules myself. So I think you're right. We'll go back to your first point, make the game more entertaining, bring the fans back. And bring more Fijians over to absolutely carve up on the wing. But on that note, LT, it's been a pleasure to have you on. You're an inspiration to so many that have come through before. So we wish you all the best and hopefully catch you over in Fiji at some point.
Ma'a loa vinaka, boys. Thank you.
Nijan knowledge.
Seth, I tried so hard to get rid of this segment. I just didn't want it in there. Last year was just, it was just not for me, Nijan knowledge, but... T, he goes, I won. We have to keep it in there. Yeah, wow. Can you? And I asked if we could start this week with it, and he said, the only time I won was when you came on. He didn't like your questions.
I did try to help you out,
Sam. He did, and he knew that. He picked up on that. So he said, you have to wait till I come back. But I've got an extra week.
I might have another tip for you to help this year.
That's what I want to acknowledge. What have you got for me? What's
every week you've got someone you're interviewing. Have you heard of these two things? They're called your ears.
God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Yep. Quick to listen, slow to talk.
Ooh, I like that. That's my tip. Quick to listen, slow to talk.
But I thought I might challenge you on some of the information and knowledge that Lottie was speaking to us today in the interview.
Oh, you're going to hit me with some questions now?
Yeah, mate, if you want the hot tip, I want to see where you're at.
All right, let's go then.
You ready?
What was it, my tip? Quick ear, quick mouth, slow ears.
One ear, two mouths.
All right, go lay it on me.
All right. He spoke about, obviously, our respects to Carl Webb, but he's seen one of his former players that said, oh, mate, you wingers just turn up and just catch the ball and put it down. Which player was he talking about?
Gordon Tallis.
So your final answer?
Brad Thorne. Shane Webke.
Oh, man.
Shane Webke.
Yeah?
Yep. My final answer.
Gordon Tallis.
Wow.
Please, man. No more tips for this guy.
Yes.
Do you know my tip? I think I just got to always back my first answer because that's happened a lot because T would do
stop
that.
Stop going through every player that you know I can think of.
I know.
One more hot tip. He grew up in his village watching one of the greatest swingers come through, the Canberra Raiders.
Ah, that's an easy one. Noan Andruku.
Oh, yes. Thank you. You're back. You sure? That's your phone?
Yeah, well, honest, that's 50%. I'll take that. Yeah. So we got two?
One out of two, Sam.
Yeah, 50%.
So you maybe or maybe you won't be getting that tattoo.
A 50-50 chance. Well, Seth, thanks for all those tips. I appreciate that, mate. It's going to help me, but that's our time up for today. So good to be back on air talking all things Nijan footy. Remember, you can listen anytime to previous episodes or chats with some of our favourite Pacifica athletes wherever you get your podcast. See you next week.
You.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.